I had told the girls last night when I did the announcements and welcome, and I didn't say it this morning, but, you know, we're not breaking up into designated groups like, you know, we normally do. But that doesn't mean that you ladies can't do that, that you can't find your time and your space together, go to breakfast, have coffee, stay after and go out in the courtyard and do what you just did and just talk through what the Lord's speaking about. So because it's so good and it's so important. And, you know, one of the things that's great about trees is that, you know, and like Don said, often, you know, in the barren place, they are isolated and by themselves, but generally they grow together. They grow in a grove, or they grow, you know, eucalyptus. When I lived in Orange County, they had these huge rows of eucalyptus because they were windbreaks, and they just lined them all up together. And because they were close and planted together, they were so strong against the wind. But and I'm glad she said that eucalyptus. I think oak too. Their roots grow out and link together, and it strengthens and strengthens them. And that's a great image for us too, to link our roots with each other. And so, this is my friend Erin, and we're going to just chat a little bit this morning. And we were just laughing because Erin does my hair, and we're both nervous. And I said, we should have set it up where you were doing my hair, because she'll be at my house sometimes for 2 or 3 hours. And we're like, blah, 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 right? Just non-talk, chat. We're not nervous. We're solving all, we usually solve all the problems right. of the world, don't we? Yeah. But we're both nervous, so give us a little bit of grace. But I'm excited to have her here, and I know the Lord's invited her and chosen her for to share with you this morning to encourage you, encourage me to glorify the Lord. And so I'm just going to have her start by just giving us a little brief introduction about yourself.
My name is Erin Tackerberry. I've been at this church since I was 7 years old. I'm now, how old am I? 45. this church is amazing, and it has always been my home. And I'm married to my husband, Robert Tackerberry. So we're coming up on 20 years of marriage in July, and we have 3 wonderful, amazing, beautiful kids. I get emotional about them. Sorry. Okay, so they are, my 2 boys are 16, 14, and then my daughter, Avon, is 7. So, and she was just baptized on Saturday, so that was real fun.
Okay, so, and before we get into chatting a little bit more, I just want to lay this foundation about Erin that, as she shares a little glimpse and some slices of her life, that she is a woman planted in the deep waters with the Lord. She is rooted. She's consistently abiding in the Word and His love and His Spirit, faithfully connected within the body of Christ, faithful in prayer, walking strong in her faith, and yet the heat comes, right? Yeah, so give us a little glimpse into what you want to share this morning about a season of heat and drought.
So I was going through my life. It's been a long time. I've been walking with the Lord strongly since I was about 19, 20 years old, 21 maybe. I can't remember. anyways, it's been that long. And when I decided to completely surrender my life to the Lord, there was a lot of blessings in that season. And then fast forward to, that was like 2004, I think, is when I decided that. And fast forward to 2009, at this point I've been married for a little bit of time, and we had our first child, and we have kind of always had a season of drought when it comes to finances. I don't know, I guess some people are assigned trials, that one just happens to be mine. And so starting 2009, I don't know if you guys remember, but that was kind of when the whole recession thing hit. And my husband was employed, but it wasn't really going anywhere. He had taken some classes and things to kind of further himself in the company, but that all fell apart that time in 2009. So he decided to go back to school, and I was not working because I had my first child, and we had decided that I was going to stay home and take care of the kids, future kids. And that was really difficult for me because I was very much a independent, self-made, career type of person. I had just, I had my hair license and I was doing well in that and I loved it. And so to do all that was really difficult and take a step back and just be at home with the kids. Anyways, we decided that we were going to move in with my sister-in-law and her family because they had a little room. And so me and my newborn and my 2-year-old and my husband all moved in to that situation. And, it was definitely hard and it was a heat that I had never felt before. We were living off of loans. We did everything wrong. I don't recommend doing what we did, but we were living off of school loans because he was going to school full time. And then we're living in this room, all of our family, with another family of, I think there was 7. So it was really difficult for me. And I started to really resent where I was at. And I started to kind of try to figure out a way that I could get out of the situation. And I was a Christian. I was walking with the Lord. I was in the Word. I was coming to church, doing all the things. But I was not going to be this person that lived in this room. And so that was a season where I decided I was going to go get my career. And I would work nights. He would be there with the kids at night. And I would be there during the day. And as I was doing this, my heart sort of became hard towards my husband, and there was a lot of animosity there. He kind of let me go do my career thing, but I don't think he was totally on board. And it was a season of drought. I was exhausted, and there wasn't any money that I was making. And so it was just a lot of like spinning your wheels without really getting anywhere. And so that's kind of,
story so about what Dawn was talking about. You're like, I'm going to take this. I'm going to figure this out on my own. And it got more desolate and more dry and more barren. So was there a point in that process where you was a turning point, maybe where, like I know she said, did the Lord's voice become louder in your time then? Yeah. Did someone else come alongside? Did the Lord just speak to you in a way that it was like, this something needs to change? Is there going to be a turning point here?
Right. So I think I scaled back my schedule a lot, and I was still trying to like hold on, trying to still make it happen. But I just started really turning into the Lord and really getting in the Word, like really spending time highlighting, digging deep, really praying about our situation. We did end up going to marital counseling, and so there was a lot of things that were discussed in a plan of action, and my husband and I were becoming more on board with each other, becoming one again. Mm-hmm. And I would say that as I did that and kept giving it over to the Lord and really praying about that, God made a way. Mm-hmm. And there was a person that we were in contact with, and she called me one day and was like, we have this amazing 3-bedroom place. It's affordable housing, and it was right in what we could afford. My husband decided to leave the school situation, and then he was able to work, and then we were able to stay in this place. And it was kind of like he just parted the seas right when we came to that point of like, we're either going to make it or break it. That's when the Lord came through and there was a place available and we had a plan. And
yeah, so. That's cool. So it's interesting because she said, you know, before this really became a dark, difficult season, you know, she was doing all the rooting and planting and spreading, and then the heat came. But we still need to root and plant and mm-hmm. spread in the midst of the heat. And I loved how Dawn brought up that whole part of our choice kind of dictates our environment, you know, where we're going to end up either desolate and barren or begin to thrive. Mm-hmm. And so as you guys made some of those choices, some mm-hmm. of them were just very practical. Mm-hmm. We need to be together more. We need to, our family unit, you know, mm-hmm. and we've talked a little bit, so I know some of her backstory, but yeah, like you're saying, everything, I know you too, you're like, the word is so key for Aaron, and like, we're similar, we don't sleep great at night sometimes, so it's like, okay, we're putting on an app for the where the word's being read, or we're reading, or like, these are all choices mm-hmm. that are going to dictate your environment. So mm-hmm. do you think there are times that, I mean, or maybe share from your own personal experience, because I, like we say, we do get fearful and we do get anxious sometimes. That's normal. Mm-hmm. Do those things rule us? Is that the now the new practice of our lifestyle? No, that's the whole point and stuff. Mm-hmm. But were there things that you think that were practices that you allowed in, maybe that sabotaged a little bit what God's plans were? Maybe you and Robert together, or just, you know, life is just hard sometimes, but
yeah.
Like a little, like, guard, give us a word about guarding against some things that can sabotage God's goodness for us.
I would say my biggest nemesis, and even is today, is my own brain, my thoughts, taking every thought captive. That is the number one issue of my life. Mm-hmm. And so now, fast forward, I don't know, however many years that is, I'm just now starting to finally, like, take the thoughts captive. So that's just my big thing is as soon as the thought comes, just, mm-hmm. okay, Lord, I know this isn't from you. Replace it with something different. And it could be, in some of those seasons, moment by moment, because those thoughts just are like waves, and it just keeps coming. But just taking that time, pausing, and like you said, turning your mm-hmm. face towards the Lord yeah. instead of your back towards the Lord, yeah. or leaning in your own understanding, your own thought process. Mm-hmm. So I would say, yeah, that was the biggest sabotage for me, was because I would just get these thoughts of like, I don't know, this isn't what
fiery darts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This isn't what I signed up for. I'm better than this. Mm-hmm. All those kinds of that thinking mm-hmm. is yeah. destructive. Destructive in your marriage. It's destructive for yourself, you know. Mm-hmm. It puts a constant pressure on yourself to be more, do more, mm-hmm. be, you know, independent, things mm-hmm. like that.
So. Yeah. I love both last night, Denise, and today, Dawn. They gave kind of that definition of trust. And it's that assured reliance in the character and ability of someone else. And we know for us that's to be the Lord. So in this season, and you're still in the midst of, mm-hmm. of, you know, that's the thing. Sometimes it's a long season, mm-hmm. and the duration can make us so weary, you know. But in this time that you've been through, have you seen maybe new attributes of God or his character or ones we've hear about him, have they just like come to life in
yeah,
your life? Would
for
you
sure.
share a couple of those with us?
Yeah, I think just you get to know him in a way that when he's all you have, he just becomes, it sounds very general, but he just becomes literally everything that you need in that moment. He's my best friend. He's my father. He is my savior. Just
it's okay.
Everything. He really is everything.
And that I love that we sang that Firm Foundation song, because because the things that we go through and the things God allows us to go through do develop us and deepen our roots, because mm-hmm. there's probably another season mm-hmm. coming. Mm-hmm. And so we cling more and we hold more mm-hmm. deeply to him as father, friend, mm-hmm. comforter, deliverer, shield, guard, strength, mm-hmm. mercy, grace. And I think that's it's a good planting exercise for us mm-hmm. when we're in the midst to, you know, we do that when we do inductive study. What am I learning about God through what I'm going through? And I think there's a great value in that for us mm-hmm. to say, yeah, I'm in the midst of this and God's permitted it. And I have questions about that, but I'm not getting the... But what am I learning about God? What is he trying to say to me mm-hmm. in the midst of this? Mm-hmm. And usually he has something to say on that. So, and again, I know because it's been a long season, you know, but mm-hmm. I know you, love mm-hmm. you, and see your life. And you still are very much a green leaf, and very mm-hmm. much fruit comes from you, in you, and through you. So... Mm-hmm. Can you share maybe a story or an illustration or something where even in the midst of hard, you've seen God faithful to move through you? I know it's kind of hard because you're like, I have to talk about myself, but it's because it's encouraging to us mm-hmm. because we do feel like, oh, I'm just dull. I'm just dry. God can't use me. Nothing mm-hmm. good can come from me or through me in this mm-hmm. time, but I know that's not true about you. So I don't know. You have something you can say where you can look either recently or even in those middle years where you're like, but God was faithful and he brought this life and this fruit through my life. You're an amazing mom. So I was going to throw that out there, but yeah. So
I would say, yeah, definitely like seeing the fruit of my children, like, they're as of today, they're all still walking with the Lord. And my 7-year-old just was baptized all of her own free will. She brought it up, continued to talk about it throughout the week. So I said, okay, she said, sign me in. And so, and then I have a 16-year-old who's amazing. He's, you know, he's typical 16-year-old. But he is a leader. He, plays soccer and he's just different. He's different from the other boys and, strong personality, and sometimes that was hard, but it's also proved to be very good. And then my middle is just my joy. He just has the joy of the Lord, and I just, every day, he's just like hugs, and he sort of is a strength for me. And so, yeah, I would say just seeing all those attributes in my kids, there's not an amount of money that I would trade. Like, it's all worth it. And then I would say how the Lord has made me content, and he's made me to notice the little things. Where, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I wouldn't have. Just very, like, materialistic, very... like just wanting success and all these things. But in this, when the Lord just keeps orchestrating events to keep you in that place of a humble life, it kind of just gives you an appreciation and a contentment for the simple things. And you learn to have fun with the kids in simple ways where, you know, we're not going on these extravagant vacations, although, you know, we've been blessed sometimes to be able to do that. But I may not have appreciated those things had I not had these seasons of life. So,
and I love that you shared that, because God knows us. He knows what we can handle and what we can't handle, and what's good for us and what is not good for us. And how he will allow our life to unfold, so he can shape us, you know. And sometimes it is more save his money or whatever. It is a more humble place, because otherwise I'd just be so prideful and I would just be right. doing my own thing and mm-hmm. just not even acknowledging the Lord. Mm-hmm. But when you have to trust him every week for mm-hmm. how are my kids going to eat this week, you know, or whatever. Or, you know, we have, some of you have physical ailments, and, you know, we have a sweet friend, many of you know Yenny, we've been praying for her, and she was just sharing, like, every week through her treatment was just an utter and complete dependency on the Lord for strength, you know. She's a single mom with three kids, and, you know, so it's like, but did, is that what God needed, or is that the way for you, or was, is this the way for me, so that he can be in charge and can allow that process of transformation and unfolding. And I can guarantee you, the person who has a lot financially, they've got something else. So, you know, we have to be careful, don't we? Because I know you and I have talked about this. Comparison can be very, very detrimental. It's a wicked tool of the enemy, because we can look at each other and think, well, they're blessed and they're this or they're that. I'm doing the same things they're doing, and this is what my life looks like. What would you say to guard against that practice of comparison?
I think just keep your eyes on your own paper. That's just the first thing that came to my mind.
No glimpsing next door at the desk next door.
Growing up in school, I don't know if you guys heard that from your teachers, but I just, that was the first thing that came to my mind. But it's true, like, stay in your own lane, and this is what God has for you. And they have their things, and you might not want their things.
We do. Yeah, when they say the grass is greener, and we're like, okay, you know, her leaf looks green to me. I don't know, maybe I want that leaf over there, but you don't know what she went through underneath the roots in the soil for that fruit and that leaf to produce. So, and that's just bringing it all back to trust. That's what this whole passage has been about, trust. Trust in the Lord that he is good, and he knows us, and he loves us, and knows what's best for us. And I love how Don talked, kind of ended with that too, that our fruitfulness, yes, we sit in it and enjoy it, and it's a blessing to us, but it's designed to be a blessing to others. And I can say that's one thing I admire about Erin is she's very honest and open and real, and her kids see her life and all that it is, but she has fruitful children because they've lived with a mom and a dad who've planted and rooted with the Lord. Not always perfectly, we all know that, but seeing her response to the heat of life and the drought of life, and that's so key. So I think it's good. So I know the time just went so fast, but I'm going to let you close us out. Do you have one encouraging word, or one, even just a challenge for us? Maybe someone's in a season right now, approaching a season. Sometimes the heat gets hotter. Yeah. We think, I'm really in this hot season of drought, and then the phone rings or the email or a text comes, and it's like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, where it was like, oh, make that fire seven times hotter for that child of God. So send us off with a good word of encouragement.
Yeah, I would say two things. One is abide. Two is hope for the future. By abiding, it's very simple. It's you're in the Word, you're in prayer, and you're in fellowship. And just stay. Stay walking. Even when you don't feel it, even if you don't, like, you open the Word and it's just like words on a page, just keep going. Keep staying. Keep abiding. He's the vine, like Don said. And my last, and the thing that gets me through everything, is I'm going to read a verse if I can pull it up. Revelation 21:5. Look, I'm making everything new. And he said to me, write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true. And it really, really is.
Love that. She ended with what I say. And Dawn started with that, you know, this is what the Lord says, thus saith the Lord. So are we listening? Are we seeking out his voice? Are we just, you know, in one ear and out the other? Or Are we giving the Lord that place in our lives so that we can hold fast to what is true and have hope within us? Aaron, you are a great blessing, very brave and courageous. Thank you so much for sharing with us this morning.